Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. As we approach God's Word, let's take a prayerful breath. Breathe in, breathe out. Listen to God's Word this day.
Please join me in our prayer for illumination in unison. Let us pray. Savior God, your Word is a lamp to our feet on this discipleship road. Walk with us. Guide us with your wisdom and grace. Open us to discerning your will and your way. Amen. Today's first scripture reading is from the 69th Psalm, verses 7 through 10 and 16 through 18. Now listen to God's word. It is for your sake that I have borne reproach. That shame has covered my face. I have become a stranger to my kindred, an alien to my mother's children. It is zeal for your house that has consumed me. The insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. When I humbled my soul with fasting, they insulted me for doing so. Answer me, O Lord, for your steadfast love is good. According to your abundant mercy, turn to me. Do not hide your face from your servant, for I am in distress. Make haste to answer me. Draw near to me. Redeem me. Set me free because of my enemies. Our second scripture reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 26 through 39. So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in this dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet none of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'm going to start by rereading that lesson from Matthew, not because Bruce didn't do a brilliant job of it, but because it is a tougher reading. It's been a little bit since we've heard it. Pastor Taylor talked about it with the children, but I think it's worth hearing a second time for letting those words marinate a little and maybe even giving them a little bit of context. This passage from Matthew's gospel, the 10th chapter, starts in the middle of a speech that we've actually been hearing from for a couple of weeks. This is the speech that Jesus is giving to the 12 disciples when he sends them out to do ministry in his name, to cure the sick and cast out the demons. We heard it a little bit last week when he talked about entering towns and villages that are worthy. The piece that follows that and comes before what we have heard is the news that some of those towns and villages also will not be happy to see the disciples coming. It gets a little dicey and talks about them being sheep led to the slaughter and other difficult things like that. And so we jump into our part, chapter 10, verse 26, after he has told them of what might be coming when they go out in his name. Jesus says to his disciples, so have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have come not to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Several times this week, as we read this morning's scripture in our staff meeting devotions, and then again when we gathered the Wednesday Bible study group together and read it there, I have related a story from a morning chapel service I attended while I was in seminary. I don't remember which passage was read that morning, but before the sermon was preached, the preacher for the morning read some difficult text from scripture, ending with the usual, "This is the word of the Lord." And while most of us in the chapel dutifully responded, "Thanks be to God," someone in a pew somewhere around me uttered with a stage whisper, "Like it or not." Maybe we should have put that bulletin, that option on the screen this morning, "Like it or not." I am fully aware that these words of Jesus, these words that he spoke to his disciples, aren't really the most inviting words he ever said. They ring maybe even especially harsh on a day when some among us might be celebrating Father's Day. They aren't, "Come to me, you who are weary, and I will give you rest." They aren't, "I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." They aren't even, "Let anyone among you who is without sin cast the first stone." The words here in Matthew's gospel, this part of the 10th chapter, are much more striking, much more dramatic, much more shocking. "I have come to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother. One's foes will be members of one's own household." At the very least, we might think of these as words of warning, words of disclosure to those who might be preparing to follow Jesus' call into radical discipleship. I think that's a more helpful way to read them, as descriptive rather than prescriptive. If you come along with me, Jesus is saying, or more accurately, if you go along with my plans for you, people just might not like you. What we are going to do together, it's not necessarily going to make you popular in the way you might hope to be. This work that we do might not get your picture taken for a feature in the morning call, one where you're holding a certificate of commendation or receiving the keys to the city. Your family might not write a detailed description of your exploits in the annual Christmas letter. People around town might not invite you to their fancy parties. Instead, following Jesus going where he sends, with the words and the actions and the attitudes that he calls us to, it might ruffle some feathers. It might push against conventional wisdom. It might even set us at odds with those who are closest to us, because this ministry of mercy that Jesus proclaims doesn't always line up with the values that get rewarded in the world. This mercy doesn't always mirror what feels like fairness. And we sure do like things to feel fair. But what does Jesus say about the idea of fairness? Pay all of the workers the same pay, he says. It doesn't matter if they show up at 6 in the morning or at noon or at 4:59 p.m., pay them all the same amount. What should you do if someone strikes you? Do you hit them back? Is self-defense an acceptable excuse? No, if somebody hits you on one cheek, you give them the other to hit again. Or what about forgiveness? Can I stop forgiving someone after they've wronged me once or twice? I mean, at some point, don't I turn into a doormat if I just keep forgiving? But nope, Jesus says, forgive others as many times as I have forgiven you. Forgive them 7 times, 70 times. Forgive them until you can't remember how to do anything else but forgive. This is the word of the Lord, like it or not. And like it or not, maybe there's something more in that response. These difficult words about conflicts between parents and children, about the one who can destroy both soul and body, about the foes in our own households, about losing our lives for the sake of Jesus, and of the cost of discipleship may sound like a scary warning for our journey of faith, or possibly even serve as a deterrent from even following. It may even seem completely contrary to what we want to believe about who Jesus is and how he influences our lives. But it is, and these words are, a part of the gospel. They do speak, we affirm, with faith that seeks understanding, the good news of Jesus. So if we might not like it, who would? Whose good news is this? On Friday, in observance of Juneteenth, the Board of Pensions of the Presbyterian Church USA posted a video reflection given by the Vice President for Ministry Innovation, the Reverend Dr. Jerry Cannon, a Black Presbyterian pastor born in 1962, just 2 years before the Civil Rights Act was signed into law. Dr. Cannon shared how important a theology of liberation has been in his life and his family experience. If the technology gods are on our side, we're going to get to watch that video. So let's hope.
Juneteenth is not just a moment in history. It is the living lens through which I view my own life, my family's journey, and my ministry. Juneteenth represents the thin, providential line between bondage and freedom. My maternal grandfather was born on August 17, 1865. If he had been born just 10 months earlier, he would have been born into the sin of chattel slavery. That profound proximity to bondage has always anchored my understanding of how fresh, fragile, and precious our freedom truly is. My own arrival into the world reflected that ongoing struggle for freedom. For on June 22, 1962, my mother was admitted to the colored-only section of Rouen Memorial Hospital in Salisbury, North Carolina. Yet, by a turn of history, I was born in the white-only section, becoming the first African-American baby. to integrate the newborn nursery in the formerly segregated hospital. The journey of integration shaped my entire youth in Kannapolis, North Carolina. I began my education in a segregated environment at George Washington Carver Elementary School. Yet by the grace of God and the resilience of my community, I later graduated from A.L. Brown High School as the first African-American student body president in the school's history. As a fourth generation Presbyterian and as a pastor in the PCUSA, my faith and my commitment to justice are deeply intertwined. Having served African-American congregations in both the Charlotte and National Capital Presbyteries, I see Juneteenth through a theological framework. It is a celebration of God's liberating power, a testament to the resilience of a people who praised God before they were legally free and a divine mandate to keep pushing for true systemic equality. To me, Juneteenth means celebrating how far we have come, honoring historic shoulders we stand on, and recognizing that the work of justice is a continuous sacred calling.
Here we have heard a testimony of one person among many whose experience of life, whose family history, has disproven a false gospel of fairness. And yet Dr. Cannon speaks of liberation with joy, attributing his faith and experience to the power of God and the resilience of his community, a community that was not satisfied with the worldview and civic practices of the way things always were. The generational bondage that for centuries had, and in some ways still has, oppressed Black people. He connects his freedom to and finds strength for the ongoing work for justice in the truth that some children, both literal and metaphorical, were not satisfied with the world some parents were handing down to them. Dr. Cannon rejoices, I believe, and calls us to rejoice too, that some movements, spiritual, philosophical, and political, rose up and set themselves against the mindsets, practices, and principles of those who came before, demanding change, demanding justice, demanding mercy and life and freedom. These children set themselves against their parents as they walked in the way of Jesus that recognizes the full humanity, the full inclusion, the full dignity of all of God's children. They claimed this good news of the gospel that's on the lips of Jesus in the gospel according to Matthew. They knew their foes were members of their own national household, their own citizenship family. But they kept pushing anyway. They found themselves staring at the tips of swords or down the barrels of guns or into the gnashing teeth of police dogs, yet still they came with peace. Some even lost their lives as they were found in Jesus' eternal life. So whose good news is this? This good news that child might be set against parent is good news for those who are in the throes of the kinds of opposition Jesus talks about. It's good news to hear that we might not be alone in these good fights. It's good news to hear that Jesus knew this was going to be part of the way that leads to justice and mercy. It's good news to hear that God's kingdom can come, it will come, even in the midst of division and strife. Whose good news is this? This is good news for all those who find themselves on the oppressive end of unjust policies, practices, and mindsets, and are longing for the day that enough people's eyes will be opened. Enough people will step in and step up and say, we do not have to live this way. And truly, this is good news. That followers of the way of Jesus and the way of justice will be willing to risk disconnection or ostracization for the building of God's kingdom. This is good news for all people. Because when some are in bondage, we are all in bondage, being kept from the highest version of ourselves. I know that when it's disruptive to the comfortable status quo, it takes a little longer for those of us who are comfortable to see and feel and welcome this good news. But these hard and true words of Jesus tell us that even when it is hard to do the right thing is still worth doing. For those who lose their lives for the sake of Jesus will find their lives in him. And it is always good news for all people when the world moves closer and closer to the world God intends, the kingdom that Jesus brings near. To God be all praise and glory for this redeeming and liberating gospel. Amen.
Thank you for listening to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. We hope you'll join us for worship on Sunday morning. For more information about our congregation and our ministries, please contact the church office. Now go in peace.